Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Duke Health, offering food, medication delivery, and transportation to communities hardest hit by COVID-19. It's all through a special partnership with North Carolina agencies and 16 community-based organizations. Learn more about Duke's COVID-19 response at dukehealth.org.
This is Tested from WUNC, a look at how we're responding to the day's challenges in North Carolina and the South. I'm Charlie Shelton Ormond.
When all this started, I don't think any of us predicted this was the way this would go.
A few months ago, in the early spring and summer, Dr. Obifuna Okoye thought he was seeing a small light at the end of the pandemic's long tunnel.
And we thought we had come off this pandemic. Towards mid-July, we now started seeing this surge that has really gone haywire. Healthcare workers, including doctors, nurses, techs, pharmacists, swarmed with patients. They just keep coming at you like bullets coming at you.
Dr. Okoye is an infectious disease specialist at UNC Health Southeastern, a hospital in Lumberton, North Carolina. The facility is the medical headquarters for Robeson County, which sits along the South Carolina border in the southeastern part of the state. It currently has the lowest vaccination rate in North Carolina. About one-third of the county is fully vaccinated. As a result, the hospital is filled, from the ICU to the emergency room, with patients who have contracted COVID-19.
All the bones in my body feel like they are broken, but I'm still up and I'm walking. I don't know how I'm doing it, you know, but some of the things that put us through is, for instance, I have a lady who was on the ventilator for 3 weeks, and we eventually extubated her. So each morning, that's where I start my rounds. I go to her room, and if I see her smile, that kind of, you know, when you see such, it gives you hope that you are doing something. You brought somebody back to life.
So it's just been a really, really rough few weeks in Robeson County. The positivity rate is over 15%. We know that the statewide goal for positivity is 5%, so it's triple that amount. It's all adding up to a pretty stark picture of how the newest COVID wave is really impacting this specific community. My name is Laura Pelliser, and I'm a digital reporter for WUNC.
Laura has been talking with residents of Robeson County throughout the last year. Last fall, she helped produce WUNC's multimedia project called Lumberton Undeterred.
And I spoke with a number of different folks from Robeson County and Lumberton just about how they are managing their lives, sort of navigating the pandemic and trying to stay safe, but also both recovering from recent hurricanes and preparing themselves for, you know, what could always potentially happen during hurricane season.
Recently, Laura and I have been talking with folks in the area about the ongoing surge in COVID cases and why the county holds the lowest vaccination rate in North Carolina.
Yeah, so Robeson County is also this place that has a significant number of its population living in poverty, about 30%. And that does play into this whole situation that we're talking about now in terms of COVID. A lot of folks don't have health insurance. A lot of folks don't have the resources to go get shots necessarily. And a resource can be something as simple as having money for gas to take an extra trip that week with your family to a COVID vaccination site. So there's just a lot of factors. And I want to also take a second to look at the case count that helps tell a story along with these vaccination numbers, these low vaccination numbers. And Robeson County issues this weekly COVID report, and they have the numbers from August 31st to September 3rd, a bit of a truncated four-day period because of Labor Day. What we're looking at for that period is a significant amount of positive tests, 799 positive tests during that 40 period. So we are talking about this at a moment when this community is feeling it very deeply.
And there were also 24 deaths in just that four-day period. And it seems like the effects of the current surge have really permeated through the community in several ways, on top of the effects from, you know, the last year and a half. Yet some of the outreach efforts have had mixed success. Last week, I traveled down to Robeson County, and I talked with Bill Smith, who's the health director for the county. And, you know, he said that he's a bit frustrated and fatigued, like a lot of health workers are at the moment, and, you know, that he and his staff are really not where they want to be right now.
We've certainly gone through all the communities. We've been outside. The take is very slow. You know, it's very hard to send out a team of 8 to 10 and you see 3 people. It gets a little depressing for the staff members that instead of mopping things, now we're taking a sponge to some of these areas.
And, you know, the health department is located in Lumberton, but Bill Smith made the point that, you know, Robeson County is the largest county in terms of land area in the state. And it's important for people to know in the more rural areas outside of Lumberton that there are clinics. He referred to them as FQHCs, which are federally qualified health clinics.
There are FQHCs in all the towns. There are pharmacies. Just because you live out in a rural area, you're coming somewhere to shop. You're coming right by these places. And that's what you try to stress to people. You drove right by it. Don't say it wasn't available. You know, just say you didn't want to get it. I mean, that works better.
So you have this question of, you know, what's visible and accessible for residents and what's present in their areas, whether they live in Lumberton or in the more rural areas in Robeson County. But then there's the information side of it and the rhetoric that they're hearing and consuming. And Bill Smith noted an op-ed that was written over the summer in the Laurinburg Exchange, which is a newspaper in a neighboring county. And it was written by a physician who is on the Scotland County Board of Health, who praised the use of ivermectin, which is also known as horse dewormer.
And I mean, they made it very credible. You had it as the front page article. You know, it wasn't, well, let's debunk this. He went along with it. And I mean, now you've got that whole counter argument. You can't promote things. Now you're fighting against things that people really shouldn't get into. From what I can see, the number of calls to the poison center have just gone off the chart because you're not a horse. You don't weigh 2,000 pounds. And that's the kind of medicine you're taking. It's like, did you have worms? Now remember, it's for worms.
So not only are they working in Robeson County to promote the effectiveness of vaccines, but they are also dealing at the same time with debunking this dangerous false information.
Yeah, and I know that ivermectin has become a problem in a number of states. It's not just something that folks are hearing about here in North Carolina. And of course, the FDA has not approved or authorized ivermectin for preventing or for treating cases of COVID. Really, the only way to prevent COVID is to get the COVID vaccine or to take preventative steps like wearing a mask, like staying 6 feet away from folks.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bill Smith did point out that the health department is by no means the only group that's working in the area to connect people to care. He mentioned a group called Core Response. And Laura, I know that you spoke with Linda Maynor Oxendine, and she's the area director for Core Response. And just background on what that organization is, it's a global organization that helps communities in public health crises. And Linda Maynor Oxendine has been doing public health outreach in Robeson County, and she and other folks with CORE have heard from folks in the area about where they stand with the vaccine.
Well, something that's pretty helpful is that Linda Maynor Oxendine and CORE ran a survey in Robeson County to try and get a sense of What are some of the top reasons that people have chosen not to get vaccinated at this point in time?
So that was the answers that we needed to have in order to respond, right? Because we wanted to toss the coin. So we wanted to go from hesitancy to confidence.
And her findings essentially confirm that there are just a number of reasons. And they sort of center on these bigger themes. Government mistrust, a lack of understanding of the science behind the vaccine, and also for some people, faith kind of intersects in a way that may delay them getting the vaccine. So a specific anecdote is she did hear from a number of folks that they were concerned that the vaccine could actually make you sick with SARS specifically.
A lot of folks thought that it had SARS-CoV-2. That if you take the vaccination, then you're going to get COVID. We all know that's incorrect, right? So having experts engage, you know, with the community to make them aware that you're not going to get COVID by getting the vaccination found some level of comfort.
And she also wanted to point to the fact that, you know, underlying all these issues, Robeson County does not have a high literacy rate. And so certain scientific information might not be kind of landing in a way that is understandable and that also makes people feel like, okay, I can trust this.
So by us having people on the streets, in their neighborhoods, in their communities, and not just quote-unquote people, but their neighbors, familiar faces, faces of people that they know, that they trust, it makes it a lot easier for them to accept the information, what we call trusted messengers, giving them trusted messages, and not just messages that we're telling them, but that we can physically show them evidence of. We can give them literature that we can physically place in their hands and say, this is a reliable source.
You know, we've both been looking into what's going on in this particular county, but I know something very specific sparked this search for you, this search for why the COVID vaccination rates are so low.
Yeah, so about a month ago, our colleague, Dave DeWitt, he talked to Joanne Anderson, who is the CEO of UNC Health Southeastern, the hospital in Robeson County in Lumberton. And she talked about how hard the situation is inside of the hospital.
So in my opinion, we're in a dire situation. Monday, unfortunately, we had to have a conversation about if we got to the point where we had to look at how resources were allocated, what would our decision making be? I don't want to ever get to that point.
Obviously, one way to prevent that is for more people to be vaccinated.
Right.
You also posted on Facebook that some of the members of the staff who've had to be home with COVID, there was a vaccine mandate made for UNC healthcare mm-hmm. staff members. Did that have an impact? Are you seeing staff members who are unvaccinated? And how do you address that?
Unfortunately, we have a very low percentage of employees that are vaccinated. We're just over 50%. So I have about 48% of my employee base today that are not vaccinated. And, you know, I've pleaded, I've encouraged, I've incentivized, I've done everything I possibly can to get them to get vaccinated. And it came down to, okay, I'm just going to have to mandate it, because if I'm going to protect the staff, if I'm going to protect our providers and our community, we need to be leading the cause for vaccinations.
And what really piqued my attention from that conversation was that low vaccination rate within the hospital, among employees who work in the hospital. When Dave talked with Joanne Anderson about a month ago in mid-August, the hospital was at about 50% of employees who were vaccinated. That number has increased, but it's not quite where they want it to be just yet. There is a mandate in the hospital set for September 21st that all employees need to have both of their doses of the vaccination by that date, September 21st. And so I wanted to talk with people who work in the facility, UNC Health Southeastern, about their decision to get vaccinated. Obviously, they have the mandate, but I wanted to hear about those more personal reasons that were influencing people to get vaccinated.
So my name is Caitlin Mears, and I'm an employee benefits representative here at Southeastern, and I've worked here for about 5 years now.
And I wanted to talk to Caitlin because she's not on the hospital floor working with patients, but she's working with and talking to the healthcare workers. She's hearing from them about their experiences, and I wanted to learn more about how hearing about those experiences from nurses, from doctors, has influenced Caitlin's stance on the vaccine.
I can tell that they're tired. They're definitely burnt out. They're frustrated. I can see that from an administrative standpoint and from, you know, a critical bedside standpoint. And unfortunately, it kind of leaves me feeling a little helpless because I can't really do anything to help them other, you know, than make sure their benefits are right. But what I can see is that our county is one of the largest counties in North Carolina and one of the lowest vaccination rates. And that's the thing that I had kept hearing for quite some time.
Before the mandate, where did you fall in terms of your comfort and your willingness to get the vaccine?
I was not comfortable getting the vaccine to start with before the mandate. And I can't say that I was 100% confident in getting it either. However, again, I did do my own research and did a lot of praying. And I ended up becoming more comfortable with it due to having trusted healthcare workers. So I became more comfortable with that. And one of my trusted nurse friends, she said to me, she said, "Well, Caitlin, don't you think that getting the vaccine, any kind of side effects that you might have from that, are a lot better and treatable than you being on a ventilator?" And ultimately, happily to report, me, my fiance, and my mom are all vaccinated now. We actually go and get our second shot next week. And so it's kind of caused me to stop and think, you know, it isn't always about just you. It's about other people as a whole and your community as a whole. If you look around and you see our community, you're seeing not a lot of people getting vaccinated. A long testing line, even this morning when I came in, it was, gosh, all the way back to the end of the road. And the vaccine lines, I mean, you can pretty much walk in and no wait to get a vaccine. So it's almost like it's reversed here.
And have you shared what your friend who's a nurse told you, which sounded very powerful and influential? Have you relayed that to other folks in your community about your experience in the hospital and what you've heard from other folks who work inside the hospital?
Definitely have to try and, of course, make a difference. And I have to be reminded that even if someone else doesn't listen to me, I've done what I needed to do to make the difference. And at the end of the day, you know, you can really only be responsible for yourself. And, you know, unfortunately, as bad as I want to just say, "Hey, load you up and take you and get your vaccine," you know, I'm reminded every day, and even by our administration here, it is a personal choice. And I think that's the biggest thing that people need to remember, is that, you know, you are ultimately responsible for whatever you accept. And if you accept the vaccine, then and something happens, you know, those are the consequences. Unfortunately, on the same side, if you don't accept it and you get sick, those are the consequences that I think that you have to accept.
And I think, like most people, I thought, like, we thought that it was kind of clearing up. And then it came back, and then came back with a vengeance. So it's like, you know, I was in a position where the time is now.
I also spoke with Malik Corbin, and he's a cardiovascular sonographer for UNC Health Southeastern. And he does routinely work with COVID patients.
We're checking for all these things, and we're trying to get in real quick and get as much information as we can without getting exposed and getting out. But the main thing we're checking for is the heart function.
And Malik said that, you know, despite working in the hospital, he wasn't fully set on getting the vaccine back when the case count was lower than it is now, back in the early summer.
So at first I was a little hesitant because I was kind of skeptical with what I try to put in my body, you know. So me not being fully aware of, you know, this vaccine, I kind of wanted to ask different people about it and just get different people's, hear different people's opinion before I got the shot.
But now things are looking very different, which was a wake-up call for him. And he decided, looking at the number of people who were coming in, that he was going to get vaccinated.
Honestly, I just got it a couple weeks ago. I just got it. Once it came back the way it did, especially with the amount of young people I see coming in, that really started getting to me a lot. Not to sound selfish, but you got to protect yourself. You got to look out for yourself. I mean, nobody in the ICU thought they would be there. You know what I mean? Fighting for their lives. You know, nobody. You know, I just scanned a patient on, what was it, Thursday? And, you know, he's not here today. You know, he had no clue that he'll be in that situation. That right there makes me think, like, we have to do this. Because any one of us can wind up in that situation and not know it.
So again, hearing from people like Malik and Kaylin, it just feels like it's gotten to the point in the area where it's unavoidable for you or somebody you know to not have been affected by COVID in some way.
Yeah, I will say that a number of people told me about just the sheer volume of funerals that they attended, the number of family members or friends that they had buried. And I should mention that those funerals are not pre-COVID funerals, so they're not always the most fulfilling way to say goodbye to someone that you love.
Mm-hmm. And it is slow going, but the numbers are ticking up slightly for vaccinations in Robeson County. A month ago, in early August, it was just over a quarter fully vaccinated. Now it's just over 30% fully vaccinated. But Health Director Bill Smith, who we heard from earlier, says that that's not fast enough. And there was something that he said kind of offhandedly that stuck with me. He talked about when he hopes to see this surge peak, but the dangerous sort of seesaw effect that might be in the wake of that.
So I'm hoping that somewhere around 1st of October we peak, we begin to trail off into the end of October and November. You know, at that point, people are going to say, well, I'm not getting the vaccination again, but you skipped the bad months anyway, so.
And Laura, you know, Robeson County is a diverse county, and there is a group of folks, there is a community in Robeson County that we haven't talked much about in this conversation, but that we are going to talk more about in our next episode.
Right. So the Lumbee tribe is the largest Native American tribe east of the Mississippi River, and the majority of the population of American Indians in Robeson County are Lumbee. And unfortunately, what we've seen is the vaccination rate in the Lumbee community is a few points lower than the vaccination rate in Robeson County as a whole, and we're already looking at a low rate of vaccination.
That's it for this episode of Tested. For the next episode, Laura and I will talk more about the pandemic and vaccination within the Lumbee community in Robeson County.